Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is an artist I actually met at Cheap Pete's in San Francisco, and the way he was helping me pick frames, I knew he did something beyond that. And when I asked him, his face lit up at the very conversation about his art, and I thought, well, this is somebody we want to hear from. So I am going to go straight to you, Alexander Philippe, which is, by the way, his artist's name, and talk to you about growing up. Where were you born?
Hello, hi. Janet. First things first, right?
Sure.
I was born and raised in the Philippines, and we moved here in the United States 10 years ago.
Just 10 years ago?
Yes, 10 years ago.
So you were raised bilingually, though?
In a way,
try?
Yes. Yes, but when I was a little kid, I've always been fascinated with languages and other culture.
Because you sound so California.
I guess, you blend in. When in Rome, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some people are very good at languages, so I just didn't know if you...
Thanks. Yes. It's just something I'm
I thought maybe you came here when you were a little kid.
No, but no. I act like a kid most of the time, but you know.
Okay. So can I just ask you then how old you were?
Yeah, I was...
10 years ago?
Yeah, I was 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were 21 when you came here.
Yeah.
So fully an adult man. Okay. Yeah. So did you know that you were going to be an artist when you were a child?
To be honest, I didn't know that one could be an artist, to be honest. I drew when I was a little kid, and I tinkered a lot with, basically I destroyed my toys and tried to put it back together, but not what it was.
Uh-huh.
It was something else, because my imagination was...
You would take something apart and use the pieces like collage?
Yeah, and put like strings here and, imagine that it's a gun with a string or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I never...
Boy art.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I never really thought that I'd be an artist.
Uh-huh.
I guess a lot of soul searching, and you realize that, hey, there's a lot of, I guess, quote unquote, signs out there that would make you become who you are.
Okay, so I want to ask two things. What were yours, and what did your parents want you to become? Did they have any wishes for you?
Well, firstly, my parents... Well, I grew up with just one parent, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I never met my dad, so that kind of... as a little kid, you become very more inward, just thinking about, why me,
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of...
Can you say what your mother said about him, like where he lived?
No, it's just I'm the youngest, so I guess I was a little conscientious little kid. Like I didn't want to even know because
what was the point?
Yeah, it was the point. I mean, and then I guess I apply that in a lot of things.
But the youngest of how many?
Of three.
Okay, and the other two knew him?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So he wasn't he was there at some point. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, my mom just, she was cool. She used to send me to art camps, summer camps like that. it's so ironic, like a few years later when I really fully decided to become an artist, she was like the first one, what are you thinking? Because they always think that a lot of parents would like to have their kids be, financially stable.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. But for me, I guess... Because I'm the youngest, and I'll do what I want.
Out of love for wanting you to be secure and not starving to death.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was more of like, I have to fight for what I want to be, but I know she's supportive.
Yeah.
Moms, what are you going to do?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were the signs that you should be an artist?
Well, I've always been fascinated about, drawing and stuff like that. I guess it was more like, hey, I could do that too, And I was raised reading comic books, like Batman and stuff, even though I was, raised in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why I think that I fully love, art and languages and words, because it was, in a comic book, it all coalesced, so.
So what kind of art is yours? Is it that kind of illustrative art?
Well, I was trained to be an academic painter.
Okay, so, trained where and how old?
The local
here in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, uh-huh. Yeah. And that's what I did for 4 years. I graduated with a fine art degree, but again, a lot of soul searching and want to find your voice. And I realized two things: that A, why am I, using other artists' voice to express who I am?
excuse me, how were you doing that?
Like, you know, when you're copying.
Like assignments.
Like assignments, and then you fall in love with a certain artist's, you know, style, and you, of course, it's okay to emulate mm-hmm. and copy, but one, you have to outgrow it. So, and then it just hit me, why am I, you know, painting in other people's style? And secondly, I realized that the limitation of a two-dimensional painting when expressing your ideas. For example, I am fascinated about existence. How are you going to convey that in a painting? Because if painting is a mark making and a visual language, mm-hmm. how do you, you know, teach people to see or understand what I'm trying to say about existence?
So you are really using art. Well, I guess everybody who paints is. You're using art as a language to get across an idea yeah. or to get other people to think about something.
Yes,
right?
Because I love art history, and I've always was fascinated about, you know, back in the day when they're building Gothic cathedrals, they have stained glass. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, people were illiterate because, you know, only the rich people can you buy books and stuff and actually
Well, and
be
before
educated.
That, it was only the clergy.
Exactly.
The priests. So, yeah. Yes.
So art back then was more didactic. It was teaching people to, you know, about Christianity or other propaganda. So, well, I shouldn't say that in the same.
That's okay.
You know, but you know what I mean. But yeah, I want to capture that because I feel like, you know, the art today is not conveying a message because it's more of like, you know, just aesthetics. I mean, uh-huh. aesthetics is okay, but it needs to mean something because for me, art should mean something.
Okay, so you're drawing a difference between really saying something through your art and having the painting match the duvet cover.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what is it? Well, talk about three-dimensional. You were saying you realize that two-dimensional drawing was
yeah.
not doing what you wanted it to do.
Because the medium should reflect the message. So like I said, my fashion.
What's yours?
Well, I like ideas, you know, and I like conceptual art because that's where I can express ideas conceptually.
But do you paint and draw, or do you use three-dimensional, like, sculpt?
Well, right now, I stopped painting because, you know, what I'm fascinated about cannot be expressed in painting.
So how can it be?
Well, existence. I'm working on something really huge. It's been taking me, like, 2 years
wow.
to do this. One day, you know, I was in my apartment, because I guess I can say that I'm a secret, you know, philosopher. Mm-hmm. I always think about this, you know, and I'm fascinated by, you know, existentialist, you know, Kierkegaard and Sartre and Nietzsche and Camus. One day it just came to me because I was listening to a podcast about Kierkegaard mm-hmm. and then I just realized his quote, "Life should be lived forwards but understood backwards." And it hit me, I'm going to make an installation called The Game of Eiffel, Life Backwards.
I didn't see that. Okay.
And then at first I thought it was funny. Huh? You know, one of those funny ones. And then, you know, I thought it over.
Is it a sculpted piece?
It will be an installation, an interactive installation.
Oh, I see.
20 feet by 20 feet.
Does that include visual, like, screens yeah. and interactive things?
Well, basically the whole installation would be on a carpet,
mm-hmm.
and there's tiles, like 18 by 18 inches tiles. Each tile could have, you know, life statements or questions. Basically, the whole board game, quote unquote, is about the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, and then when you walk in, you get to decide about human, you know, decision makings and stuff like that, because it's my baby. I'm trying to help people to confront the things that we don't want to confront, because in our modern times, we're always outward instead of going inwards and getting to know ourselves.
Okay, so what are some of the things you feel people don't want to confront?
The truths about themselves.
Like what?
That they're lonely.
Uh-huh.
You know, once you've...
Because there's so much social pressure to be happy and cheerful and have yeah. a good time and have fun.
Yeah, and then there's a stigma that if you're yes. if you're alone, that means you're not happy or whatever. But I believe that, you know, we should conquer our inner selves. And then we always... our default is to be part of something bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
but it becomes a crutch because what if the group disintegrates and who are you?
And then what are you left with?
Exactly.
So who are you left with?
So, well, I'm trying to say is you have to be an individual first and be part of something bigger than you. So if the group disintegrates, you're fine being mm-hmm. alone and, you know, you still have dignity and you're not dependent on other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal.
Now, is that your overall view, or like, is each tile some different? You said
they're
truths,
all different.
Plural.
Yeah,
so what are some others
different.
That people don't want to? That would seem to be like a basis on which the others are built. But
Some tiles are ask about which is more important, religion, A, religion, B, science, or C, human passions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you land on that tile, you're thinking about it. What is more important to me? Is religion more important than science, or is having human passions
mm-hmm.
more important than the two of the choices?
Yes.
So, because that's why I...
Or a balance of all three.
Exactly. See, there is no right answer, but it's
yeah.
just because existentialism is about having choices and making decisions. So there is no one way of walking into the board game.
Uh-huh.
And if you play it right now, for example, and you come back to the board game 30 years later, your choices will not be the same
uh-huh.
because you have changed.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's something that I'm really passionate about. It's been 2 years because, you know, it's too expensive
yeah.
to make something, but I'm so into it, you know, because it's my baby.
Yeah. So is this, you're working on this,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have the tiles yet, or you're starting to make them?
I'm starting making them.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done in my computer because I've been trying
that's
to...
That's what I was going
to
ask
Yeah,
you.
I've been
okay.
trying to find a fabricator to do this, but sometimes they don't want to do individual square tiles.
Uh-huh.
But I have other options. I've been thinking about it.
Well, excuse me, when you say a fabricator, mm-hmm. is there a reason you can't do it? Because you need certain materials or what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I envision it to be on a carpet
mm-hmm.
because...
Oh, woven in.
Yeah, woven
oh,
in.
I thought you meant laid out on one seat. So it would be a carpet on which you would do the walking.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It's an interactive installation.
I see.
And there is an accompanying sayings, like slogans that I invented for the game of Ethel, you know, just to be witty and stuff like that. For example, I call it Ethelisms. For example, one is, life is an express train that goes choose.
Yeah.
See, that's one of those, and
choose instead of choo-choo.
Yeah,
yes, that's cute. I like that. So this would seem to be something you could do on your website, or
yeah.
have people interact with it that way. Also,
true, but I refuse to do it
uh-huh.
virtually because I want people to be outside and actually.
Oh, and not yes,
yeah, and
yes.
then enter. You know, be. In the actual experience of the art.
Oh, and if several people are on that carpet at once,
mm-hmm.
what happens?
Well, the whole mechanics is you get an instruction of how to play the game, and then you walk all over the board game, quote unquote, and then you get to choose. You have like 7 minutes to do it.
So you're on the carpet yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You're alone. It's a one-player game because... That's what life is. You're subjectively...
What about a carpet like that for a family room or a playroom or a children's room
mm-hmm.
as the carpeting?
Like the rubber ones?
Well, either an area rug or... there's
yes.
a whole world of life carpeting.
That's true. But it's just so difficult to make it.
Yeah.
Really. I thought of, at first, you know, the mouse pads.
Yeah.
And then just... But I realize if people will walk on it, it will be destroyed by the end of... I don't
oh,
know.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
carpet is the...
Good, sturdy, industrial carpet.
Yeah, the most
yes.
ideal to do this.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It's what I've been doing for 2 years.
And so your mother doesn't have to worry about you because you have a day job and you can take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good. Okay, is she living still in the Philippines?
I know she's in San Jose.
Oh,
I see her
once
in a while.
Okay, so... And she's been here for as long as you have? You came
yeah,
together?
Yeah, we came together because
okay.
her family lives in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we moved here. But I was still young back then, and then I was so hungry
yes,
to
for this.
To live life and experience things.
What does she have to say about your art now? If anything, maybe she doesn't.
She likes my old stuff when I'm painting realistically.
Yes.
But because I guess the things that I do now are too cerebral. So, yeah.
Oh, but cerebral is good. I mean, it's all good. Yeah. But this is, I've never even thought of something like this, like walking on.
Yeah.
It sounds really intriguing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Now, are you a letter writer? I think you mentioned.
Yeah, I do love writing letters and then writing emails, funny ones, actually.
Uh-huh.
Because you could write a, you know, boring letter, but you can choose to be witty and entertaining.
Yes, you can do that in a letter or an email.
Exactly.
So do you have a preference? I mean, I love email.
Me too. Actually. I love email too.
It's the best. I use it as letters. I don't do those really short things. I probably have people who don't want to hear from me.
It kind of annoys me when you write something so long and you've thought about it, their structure, and then someone replies to you with one sentence.
Oh, when they say, okay.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
Or you don't even have to read and you see the how many kilobytes or megabytes they sent. Oh my God, this is a strong one.
You've just wasted a whole bunch of your parts. But you haven't. But I have a question. Okay.
Sure. I'm an Aries. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I don't know what that means exactly, but okay. But sometimes people have a strong feeling for that, what you just said. Kidding is fine.
Okay. About
a zodiac signs.
Oh.
Not you. I wish this were television. See that expression right there. Okay. So what is, you write these long things.
Mm-hmm.
What if you did those by hand and sent them to yourself? Or do you have copies of these things? I mean, it's a pity to have those wasted.
Well, that's the beauty of having an email. Of course, this is always in the sent file. But when I write someone a letter.
Uh-huh.
That's the sad part of it, is because you're giving it away to someone. Of course, they're a keeper
of your
thoughts.
It's also the gift.
Yeah, they're the keeper of your thoughts and the chronicler, you know, of your life. But yeah, sometimes I just miss it. Like, oh man, that was a good one. Because when you're writing, you're sometimes, like I said, you're in the zone.
Yes.
And you've never thought of something, you know, writing something like that, and you give it to someone and you'll never see it again, and you might not even remember.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but the other person will, and I have a feeling people keep letters. My own experience is when you get a good letter from somebody, you don't throw them away.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Although I must confess that I've thrown away a couple I wish I hadn't. But in general, so what if you, because as a philosopher, it might be nice for you to look at this when you're 80 or for somebody else to find it when you're gone.
It's true,
and I know at no age really do we look at, well, some people do, life as planning for when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's that whole estate planning, which should include letters, I think. But anyway, so what if you made copies of all these letters?
Mm-hmm.
And when you say that, you know, when you send an email, the beauty of it is that it's always there. Yes, it's always there now, but technology changes often. And it's not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as the next machine comes along, it's going to be gone. You can't use your floppy disks.
It's not even ours, email. We're just basically borrowing it from...
Right. So someday in two generations, that's going to be gone.
I agree.
Or in 12 years.
Mm. So I guess I should...
Print them out.
Yeah, print them out.
Print them out.
For posterity.
Or for yourself.
It's true.
But definitely print them out.
Do you reread your sent letter, your sent email?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't? Sometimes I do.
Rarely.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to know what you said to somebody.
Yeah.
And you want to know what you shared. And just like you're saying, when you walk on that carpet 30 years later, you're going to have different responses.
Yeah, definitely.
It's nice to be able to look back and see who you were at the age of 21 or 31.
Yeah.
Once you hit 70, you might be curious.
Yeah.
And then keep them in a treasure box, but you have to sign them in your own handwriting.
The letter I
definitely what you send to people. But you want to make a copy of that, maybe. I mean, that's the miracle of today.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of good ones.
And you're smiling in that way that looks a little sad about it.
Yeah.
So from here on in, why don't you do that? Just as a love letters person, I advise this.
Yes, okay.
And sign them, because you have to have handwriting.
Yeah.
Do you like your handwriting?
I have like several handwritings.
Me too.
Sometimes. Sometimes when they're default, I can't even read it. But when you're conscious and you're really, you know, making a point to make it beautiful, I guess. Yeah.
handwriting is really kind of the fingerprint of your heart. I mean, nobody has your handwriting or your seven handwritings or whatever it is. And when somebody finds that in years to come, generations to come, nieces, nephews, children, great-grandchildren, who knows?
It's true.
The handwriting is the proof that a person was really there.
That's true, yeah.
Yes. And they'll be touching something that's felt the touch of your hand. I think that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I was imagining what you just said, like, yeah, maybe I'm 80, and my grand-grandchildren are actually reading this.
And they do. I mean, have you ever found anything in your own family history that's been handwritten?
No,
maybe not.
Probably not.
Well, it's a real jolt of joy when people do.
I'm going to start now, I guess.
Okay, good. Oh, I think that's great. I hope you do. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, as an artist and a person who can illustrate, I think, so I've gotten letters on a couple of occasions from artists, and they've drawn something on the envelope.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Do you? Okay.
I've done that. Yeah, because when you're sending someone that you know that they'd appreciate what you're doing, it's fun, you know? Because, sure, you could have, you know, sent an ordinary letter, but when you put a little extra, you know, not only I'm enjoying it, but a person would appreciate it.
You're really sending more of a part of yourself, however much more you put
on it. Or they know that you know them because you're putting something, you know.
Because I say that with the choice of stationery.
Yeah.
Whatever you choose is either represents them and what a compliment that you've been paying attention or represents you, so they know when they see that right away in the mail pile.
See, the medium should
Exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this medium is just filled with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I love it. When I write people letters, when you put their name, it's like infinite. You can go anywhere. You can talk about anything because you know that you have an audience of one, you know?
And it's a gift, custom designed gift, that audience of one.
Yeah. And then it makes you feel happy because, hey, at least someone, number one, you know, appreciates what I'm saying, even though, sure, they might not get what you're saying at that moment, but it's nice to have an audience, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's nice to get something from someone who has bothered to take the time to share something with you, which means more than a monosyllabic email response.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for that, too. I shouldn't be down on that, because sometimes that's really handy.
So if you're eloquent in your brevity, I guess.
I just want to talk for a minute, sure. I want you to talk about that business of giving it to somebody and sending it off and the sadness of not seeing it again.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I like that.
Yeah.
Because when you slip something into the mailbox, it's a real goodbye and a little separation anxiety.
Yeah, I totally agree, because it is part of you. It's your thoughts. And you give it to someone, and you don't know if the mailman would actually deliver it. Something would happen.
Oh, that's true. But, you know, they're awfully good.
Are they? Yeah, yeah. I think they are.
U.S. Post Offices.
I've never had
billions of pieces of, what, a month?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty spot on.
Shooter, right? Years and years.
I mean, once in a while, something goes awry. And if it does, well, you know.
You know, I was actually surprised. My friend, when she was living in Australia, she sent me a letter, quote unquote, but it was on a napkin.
Uh-huh.
And then she sent it, and then the United States Post Office, they put it in a nicer envelope.
Oh.
I know, it was cool.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, and then I got it, and it's, oh, cool, you can practically send anything.
You can, but so she wrote it on a napkin and sent
it to you. Yeah, I think she was in a bar or a restaurant.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah, so she just sent it, I guess, to me.
Because the message is of immediacy.
Yes.
I need to talk to you now, and here's what I get to use. And when Steve Jobs died, people wrote sorrow notes on actual apples.
Mm.
Did you see any of those? They're just heart-ripping. Mm. On actual apples, they wrote around and around and around.
That's awesome.
And left them at the stores.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's nothing you can't use, really.
Yeah. Again, the medium
message. Uh-huh. Perfect, right? Yes.
Because you can see it's an apple, I guess.
So the business about letting it go on its way.
Mm-hmm.
I once talked to somebody who had found a message in a bottle at the beach here in San Francisco.
That's cool.
In a blue bottle, and he opened it up. He told me about it. He opened it up, and it was a really angry note about how life was so bad, and this woman was suffering. She was in real torment.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote it, and she put it in a bottle. apparently flung it off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the note.
Mm-hmm.
And so What's the love letter part of this? The love letter part was that she did not fling herself off the bridge.
Mm.
And I asked this man if I could see it. He could show it to me. And he said, no. He said, I put it back in the bottle and tossed it back in the water and let it continue its journey.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Which I thought was really wonderful.
Yeah.
So if you were to write a love letter right now, today, mm-hmm. I hope you go home and write one.
Okay.
To somebody. Who would it be?
That's a good one. Probably my friend, Juanita.
Okay.
I should be writing her a letter, actually, to be honest.
Okay, good.
I've been so busy.
Okay, so been so busy. My mother used to say, you know, you always have 5 minutes to drop someone a note.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's even true anymore, but I suspect it is.
It is. We've been doing this for years, and it just so happened that, you know.
It's your turn?
Yeah, it's my turn. Actually, I have to send her a lot of stuff because I've been putting it off.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We send each other little gifts and letters.
Wonderful.
Or books, mostly.
Yeah. Something coming in the mail is great because the mail pile these days.
Yeah, or sometimes we email each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. Either way, we have
the
virtual email
and the physical.
And the physical.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about letters to yourself?
Well, I'm more, I talk to myself all the time.
Okay.
I mean, in my mind.
Yes.
So I don't know if the...
What if you sat down?
Inner Alexander would like to receive a mail.
Oh, maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay, but maybe yes.
Well...
Kind of be fun to try at once.
Yeah. Do I have to really send it to myself?
Yes.
Like a post?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
but, okay.
With a real stamp and a real envelope.
Okay. All right.
And you'll see that the you who wrote it is not the same as the you who reads it.
That's true. That's a good one. It's like you can't step in the same river twice.
That's nice, too.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of a nice thing to do. And then you put those in the treasure box, and you could include, so you have it in writing if you care to. I don't like to be the love letters police, but sometimes these ideas. So if you care to, your philosophy
mm-hmm.
will be a collected mm-hmm. set of documents. And who knows what you might want to do with that someday.
That's true.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you.
It was so nice to talk to you.
Too.
And I was curious when I left the store, I was wondering, now, what does he have to say and what is his art exactly.
Mm.
So I hope you find a wonderful museum or someplace for your piece.
Mm-hmm. They're working on it.
And when that happens, will you let me know?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to make you an honorary member.
Perfect.
Of Ethel.
Thank you.
Yeah, because
we're
doing the same thing that we, you know.
Yes. Thank you,
people.
Dear. Okay.
You're
well,
welcome.
Please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion, and as we know from listening to Alexander here, it can take a variety of forms. When you have something to say to somebody, if you're in a bar, in a restaurant, I mean, I always carry a pen with me,
mm-hmm.
and paper, and actually stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
oh,
tell
wow.
anybody,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
But to grab a napkin and send something, what a thrill to know that somebody had something, you were so in someone's thoughts that it couldn't wait.
Yeah.
I.e. texting, except this is a little nicer.
Yeah.
More keepable. Well, thank you, dear. Until next time, this is Janet Allen and
Alexander Philippe.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.